Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Before there was IMDb.com, there was Zach and Dustin.
Congrats! You found $2 Late Fee, the best 80s movies podcast in the world.
We revisit our favorite 80s movies.
Sometimes 90s.
And soundtracks from our youth. And then we interview our favorite people who helped make them. All in the spirit of nostalgic positivity.
Thanks for listening.
All right, we got a really special event here, if you will. We're doing something today that we have not ever taken to our main feed here for you guys. We have every month over on YouTube, we do a live trivia show. We play on behalf of our patrons. So all of our patrons, whoever wins the event, whoever wins the trivia show, they get to win a special prize. And today we have a very special guest, Zach. Do we not?
We do. We round out Martialart Madness with the one and only, the legendary Cynthia Rothrock. She's joining us not only to promote Black Creek, her movie Black Creek, but also to play trivia against you, Dustin.
You were the gracious host of the trivia. Were some really good questions, a really good match. This is a spoiler, but I let down Huey Lewis, and I will never forgive myself. I don't think he'll forgive me. Two, if you guys would like for us to play on your behalf or our special guests or whomever, go on over to patreon.com/$2 late fee, sign up, and you can be a part of this. We've had some really exciting matches.
We have, and it's always fun to be able to play for the patrons on the show. They get prizes, courtesy sometimes of Kino Video, and they are typically Blu-rays that are centered to whatever we're doing. So the winner of this episode got a really fun choice between a couple great genre martial art movies. And I will say, too, not only is this a trivia episode, but Cynthia tells some pretty fun stories in between some of the questions. One in particular regarding Corey Haim and another with Sammo Hung. So if you haven't watched this video, we have this video on our YouTube. Go to YouTube to watch the whole thing and click the subscribe button if you can, because that would be wonderful if you can do that.
Yep. And sadly, this wraps up our month of Martial Arts Madness, Zach. Wow. Aww. Wow. You know, I always look forward to it. It always comes and goes so fast.
It does. It's over before we knew it. We had Last Dragon this month, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat over at Territory Marks, and now Cynthia Rothrock, our good buddy, who we've had now, this is what, her fourth time on the show, so to speak?
Fourth time.
Besides fundraisers and live stuff, whatnot.
The queen of martial arts. Such a delight. Such a delight. Oh, and hey, also we had an interview with Glenn Eaton, who played Johnny in The Last Dragon.
And then we're rolling into April with probably our most mainstream movie ever. So enjoy Cynthia taking Dustin to the mat with the trivia questions, and enjoy the last episode of Martial Art Madness for 2024.
It's sad, but it's time.
It is Martial Art Madness, and Cynthia Rothrock is here to join us on this very special live episode. Cynthia, thank you for joining us on our show once again.
Yeah, my pleasure.
I feel like at this Cynthia, point... Cynthia, I'm sorry to interrupt, Zach. You've been on our show maybe three times, I feel like. Yeah. You certainly, we did an interview, and then we had you and Don on.
Right.
Dragon Wilson. Which was a great episode. And then you've also contributed to our live show, to our live fundraiser, which we appreciate.
And you, I think it all started when you came on the show to talk about New York Ninja.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Way back when. But yeah. I think the last time we had you on, you talked about your movie, Black Creek. You were in the process last time of trying to fund it. And where are you right now with Black Creek?
Well, we finished the movie in November. We are in post-production right now. Every day we are working hard with the editor on editing it. We have about 42 minutes of the film edited completely. Okay. So our goal is to be done at the end of this month, or maybe the first week in April, with the complete edit. Then again, we go into, you know, the music and color correction and Foley. And then we hope by July, it'll be a complete product done. So
that's awesome.
We'll be ready for our red carpet screening then.
Awesome. Yeah. If you need two crack reporters to do the red carpet Q&A, we're more than happy to do that.
Oh, good. All right. You got it.
So for everyone that doesn't know, can you give us a brief synopsis of what Black Creek is about?
Yeah, it's basically it's a Western that incorporates a lot of martial arts. I wanted to do something different. I love Westerns. And I also Googled there weren't really that many female gunslingers. Like, you know, you go back maybe Annie Oakley or something like that. And if you Google it like modern day, you get like Selma Hayek. So I was like, right. Oh, my gosh, you know, I want to be that person. And I have the biggest cast of martial art actors. Mostly all the actors are former martial art champions. So they are the real deal. And we have incredible fight scenes in it. It's dark, it's gritty, you know, it's not, I'm just so amazed with the editing. I wanted this really kind of dark, eerie, creepy look. So we did a lot of night shooting.
Cool.
And we had, you know, it's such an awesome experience, because if it wasn't for the backers, I wouldn't be able to do this movie. And they came in like so strong and with so much love for this product that, you know, we had some rough conditions. You know, we had a very short schedule, and it was a pretty long movie to do. And like, it was so cold at night, every night it was freezing. And, you know, these backers, we had like, I think the first 3 days, 150 people on set. That it, you know, they were just there, you know, as we were shivering away. You know, and the hard part is, like, you know, when you're doing fight scenes, you know, and it's like 4 o'clock in the morning, your muscles are so tight and you can't stretch them out. You feel like you can't even get your legs up. But the editing looks so awesome. I think everybody involved in it is going to be so proud of the film.
And you shot this in Arizona, right?
Yeah, we shot it at the Mezcal Ranch. All of our shooting actually was there. And that's where they shot Outlaw Josie Wales, Tombstone, Quick and the Dead. Cool. You know? So we also built a corral, you know, that we used as kind of like a fighting arena. And Mezcal Ranch loved it so much, they're keeping it as part of their set.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Cool. We made history there at the Mezcal Ranch.
You brought up Quick and the Dead. That's probably the last time I remember seeing a Western that was more female centric, and that was over 20 years ago. So we are more than due for a Western, especially a martial art Western, because I can't think of any American Westerns that have incorporated martial arts into their, you know, into the mix the genres, I guess.
Yeah, well, you see a little bit, you know, like people have done some where there's a little bit of fight here, a little bit of fight. But in this film, everybody knows how to fight, you know, so it's different. It's definitely, I think, going to shock people. It came from my brain of what I like to see, you know, so when you see it, it's like really, really, really dark, because that's what I like to watch. So I kind of geared this movie on movies that I like to see.
Well, I remember when you were on our show last, I think it was last year, last Martial Art Madness. And you had brought up, you loved To Live and Die in L.A. That was one of your favorite movies back in the day, and how gritty that is. And yes, it's not a Western by any means, but just, I love that idea that you're going to make it dark and intense.
Yeah, I wish, I wish we had a bigger budget. We had more days to shoot, because it could have been, you know, really, really phenomenal. But I hope, you know, when people see this, they say, wow, they did this for that much money and that short, you know, if they have like a lot more money, you know, what we could do with it, you know. So we're already in the process of writing Black Creek 2, because we think this is going to be a movie people are really going to enjoy, you know, and I have another little twisted turn on the sequel.
Ooh. Oh, cool. Well, and speaking of future projects, you're doing a graphic novel, right? Based on this movie or based on the sequel?
Based on this movie. It's going to be a little different. See, I talked with Marlon Chuk, who is our artist, and we've been talking for about 20 years about doing a graphic novel, because I just love graphic novels. I love comics, you know, and cool. We came up with so many different stories. And then like this story and these characters are so great, we said, let's do the graphic novel on this, because we had a lot of the storyboards. What we're doing is, it's based on it, but we're having new characters in it. We're doing backstories, like, how did I learn martial arts? Who did I learn martial arts from, you know?
Cool.
And making it a little bit different. And because, you know, you don't need a budget for this, you can go crazy with your mind, you know, with just drawing. It's going to be, it's going to be a little bit more over the top than the film.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, and right now, we have 10 days left. We're on Indiegogo, where people can go on there. And the thing is, it's just kind of like the movie. One of the greatest things that on Black Creek movie is, you know, our big incentive was that you could be in the movie. And so many people have written me and saying, you know, this has been a lifetime dream of me to, you know, to be in a movie, to be an action star with all my heroes. And same thing for the comic book. You know, our biggest perk is that you can be a character and your likeness will be in it, you know. So we've had so many fun incentives, like you can name your own character, but people can go to that. It's blackcreekgraphicnovel.com.
We're gonna get that up right here. Yep. Right now.
Yeah, we'll have the links so everyone can go to there, awesome. Go to that and check it out. By the way, I think that is so awesome. Obviously the incentive to be in your movie is one thing, that's huge, and everybody did that, which is great. And we're looking forward to seeing like people that maybe we know that contributed that'll be in the film, but to also be immortalized with, you know, a drawing or however in graphic novel form is going to be really, really rad.
Oh, it's so exciting. I think, you know, anybody in it, it's going to be there forever, you know,
right.
And we have big plans with this. So we hope actually the movie and the graphic novel will be done at the same time. And we are in talks with Black Belt Magazine of partnering up with some really great, great, great events and things that's going to coordinate Black Belt Magazine and Black Creek Graphic Novel together. So I think, you know, it's not just going to be here's a book and put it away. You can show your relatives or your kids. It's going to be out there, you know. So really, really excited the way the whole process is going for the film and the graphic novel.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
And we also have like a for an exclusive incentive, like the magazine cover. And also there's a, you know, you can be on one of the alternate covers, and this will be exclusive just to backers only.
Awesome. Awesome. So we're $2 late fee. We are an 80s and 90s movie podcast. We celebrate every March. We celebrate martial art movies and our love of martial art films. And every month we do a live trivia show. And this is our first celebrity guest as a contestant on the show. And fortunately, I am the one who asks the questions, and it's going to be Cynthia versus Dustin. And the way this works is if you go to our Patreon, patreon.com/$2 late fee, you can join our Patreon and be a part of the fun, where Cynthia will be playing for a contestant, for a patron, and Dustin will as well. And I get to ask the questions today.
But to be clear, patrons sign up, we play on your behalf, and you win prizes. You win actual physical media prizes. Right. That's very exciting, and you can put it on your bookshelf or never open it. Or like if Zach, just put it under that bed behind him and never watch it.
Yeah,
he's got a huge collection. But so I just want to say, so today it is very exciting. We have two patrons that we are playing on behalf of. And Cynthia, you are playing on behalf of our number one patron, Sylvia, who is in Germany. I never know what time it is in Germany, but I know that it's it's either late or early, or but she's always awake. She's always watching. She's always supporting the show. So we're really excited. Sylvia, if you are watching, give a little hello.
Yeah. Okay, Sylvia. I hope I can do you well on this.
Yeah. I have a good feeling about that.
I have a good, good feeling. He just winked blatantly into the camera. You might have thought that you were winking off the camera, but
wait till we get to you, your contestant, Dustin.
But we also, so I will be playing on behalf of our good buddy Jeff T. Hall in Tennessee. We just saw Jeff a couple weeks ago. He was out here. We had a good time. And Jeff is in trouble because my win percentage is like 10, maybe 6.
But I got a good feeling.
6%. Hello, Sylvia. She is here. and welcome all you new watchers, listeners, etc. So
yeah, I'm just gonna jump ahead right and say we don't take ourselves too seriously. So if we ask a question, you're like, what kind of question is that? We're trying to be silly, so it's all good.
It's always good to explain silliness ahead of time. Yeah, you should also explain all your jokes, Zach. Why don't you just explain the jokes?
Well,
do you have any just kiddings you want to get out of the way before we start?
Nope. I think I'm ready to start with question number one.
Cynthia knows that this is our banter. It's very politely antagonistic.
So normally I do a coin flip, but because Cynthia is our guest and we want to honor that, she's going to get to go first with the first question of the day. So if she gets it correct, you'll hear a ding, ding, ding. If she gets it wrong, you'll hear a...
Yes.
And fun fact, that is actually the music from The Price is Right. It just slowed down a little bit. So if anyone's cared... Okay, so question number one, Cynthia. What is a pig's favorite martial art move?
A pig's favorite martial art move?
Yes.
A scorpion tail kick?
Wow, that's a really good answer, but unfortunately, it's not correct.
Oh, sorry. I'm so off on our thing. Stand by. Here's our horn.
Sylvia, sorry.
And by the way, the first five wins. So we're
I do know it. Do I get a second chance?
Sure.
The favorite martial art move?
Yes.
A chop.
I'm going to give you that. I would have gone with pork chop, but I will go with chop for
okay.
That. Okay. So you get it correct.
I don't know why our questions are like dad jokes from the 80s, but I don't know why these are riddle books from
Chuck Norris.
I don't know.
That was courtesy of my wife said you should tell some dad jokes on the show. And then my son Bodie was like, you gotta do some dad jokes on the show. So we got one or two, another one might pop up. We're going to go back and forth.
Two people that don't watch the show are giving advice on dad jokes.
My son listens to the show and watch the show. Okay. So I'm going to go.
Cynthia's up. Good work. Cynthia's up. There we go.
My brain has to like kick in a little bit.
It's okay. I'm giving you guys softball questions to start. So with that being said, Dustin, this question is for you. What 80s martial art TV show also shares the name of a Chuck Norris film from 1992?
I believe the answer is Sidekicks.
That is correct.
And it's weird to do the bell for myself. There it is.
Oh, Dustin, you're good.
I'm not good. We were just talking about that like yesterday or a month ago or whatever it was.
We talked about it a couple weeks ago. $2 Late Fee has a wrestling podcast show called Territory Marks that I host with Paul London. He's a professional wrestler. And Dustin joined us for the episode we just recorded with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. And he's not a martial artist, but he is a professional wrestler who guest starred on an episode of Sidekicks, which starred Gil Gerard and Ernie Reyes Jr. back in 1986. So I think Ernie Reyes was like maybe 10 years old at the time, I believe, 9, even younger. Anyways, so we're tied 1-1.
We are tied 1-1. We're going to get our...
Here we go.
our Cynthia website up there.
Cynthia, some of these questions may be about you and your career. So it'll be interesting to see what you know about yourself and don't. Okay, so Cynthia, in 1997, you guest starred on a reunion special for a popular CBS television series from the late 70s, early 80s. What was the name of that show?
Dukes of Hazzard.
Correct.
Whoa, hey, that's...
I knew that one.
Awesome. Sorry, our horns are... our bells are late for some reason. There it is.
Okay.
Nothing happened.
By the way, for a quick bonus point, do you remember your character's name on that show?
Bertha Jo Butler.
Wow. full name.
Bertha Jo Butler?
Can you tell us quickly about that role on Dukes of Hazzard, the reunion?
Yeah, I mean, it was really, really fun, you know. I went in and I knew Catherine Bach a little bit because she was on Martial Law. So I was really excited, you know, to meet her. But I was also nervous, too, because it was, you know, the infamous cast of the Dukes of Hazzard. And my character was her best friend. And in the end, she was going to marry, what's his name? Oh, I can't think of the...
Luke or Duke? Luke, I think it's Luke, right?
Yeah, Duke? Tom, Pat, and
John Schneider.
Yeah, John Schneider. And then she decided she wanted to get married. And then Bubba was there, and he was this big, 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 big guy. And I was like, oh, he's so handsome. Well, let's not waste a wedding, you know. And Bertha ends up marrying Bubba.
Wow.
Yeah, and I get to do like fighting in it. It was really fun. I remember the night before, though, I started getting a cold, so I went to a Chinese herbalist, and he gave me some herbs, and they had penicillin in it, and I'm allergic to penicillin, and I had like all over my body, and I remember going in, and the makeup artist gave me makeup to cover, and she goes, I'm not touching that, but yeah.
Oh, God.
And I was like, oh my God, this is like my big opportunity to do something in a martial art movie, right? And I get this like insane cold.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That
well,
is brutal.
That's yeah. And I was going to say, this is like Love is Blind before Love is Blind was even a thing on Netflix. I know it's a very popular show right now. And the way you're describing the wedding, like, I don't want to waste the money on this wedding. Might as well just get married to Bubba.
Does that happen on Love is Blind? I feel like that happened. That was such an 80s device. Like, let's not waste the wedding.
Well, I was.
Everybody's here, you know?
Right. Does anyone else want to get me? We got this set.
but I think if that happened, that would be the craziest thing to ever experience, like being in part of it or being at a wedding where somebody's like, that person left and we don't want to waste it.
I think it's kind of a good idea if you think about it. Like if you go to a wedding, I'm just saying hypothetically, you go to a wedding, it's a beautiful wedding, and then you're like with your date there, maybe you've been together for quite some time, and you lean over and be like, you know, we should do this. And suddenly they go, you got the minister here. Can we go ahead and get married now too? Would that be okay? Just like a 2-for-1 deal?
But it's never a 2-for-1 deal. Like it's always that, you know, one wedding is destroyed.
Yes, that's
and
true.
Then another people, and then somebody else steps up and says, well, I love your mother. You know, it's like, oh, right. And we're supposed to feel like really awesome about it. So I think it would be more like that. Like if the bride, right. Cause what was the scenario, Cynthia? Like who did somebody,
she
somebody
was
wasn't
married to John Schneider.
You were supposed to get married to John Schneider. So did John Schneider, did he not show up?
No, he showed up. I think she was just, hesitant about whether she really wanted to do it, you know, and focus more on herself, you know.
Oh, interesting. Okay. And did John Schneider take it well in the episode? Like, what? Because you were like,
yes.
I gotta watch it.
Yeah, we have to watch that now. Yeah. And
Bubba was quite surprised.
I'm sure he was. In hindsight, I think Bertha Jo made a good decision, don't you think, Dustin?
To go with Bubba?
Yeah, over John Schneider.
yeah, certainly.
And it's funny, when I went in, I had an audition for it. He was sitting next to me, and we were both talking about like how nervous we were like going in, and then we both got the part.
Oh, yeah, Bubba, you and Bubba?
Yeah.
Right on. That's amazing.
So you had that chemistry.
lost us in that one.
Right. Ask me who played Bubba. So just to be clear, so Cynthia got 2 points on that because she
did. So it's now 3-1.
So it is 3-1.
However, Dustin, you may be able to tie with this next question.
Copy that. All right.
Okay. So, okay, Dustin, everyone knows you love the martial artist Ted Jan Roberts. And he is AKA the Magic Kid.
Yeah.
But my question for you is, how are Cynthia and Ted connected to the film The Lost Boys from 1987?
How are Cynthia and Ted connected to The Lost Boys in 1987?
Potentially could be a two-point question.
Seven.
Yes. 1987 film The Lost Boys. How are Cynthia and Ted Jan Roberts connected to that film?
They both had breakfast with Corey Haim that day.
That is unfortunately incorrect.
Okay. It will not be a two-parter.
Cynthia, are you familiar with Ted Jan Roberts?
No.
Okay. Throwing out the one. So, anyways, Ted Jan Roberts.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming you probably don't know the answer to this question.
My guess was going to be they both worked with Corey Haim.
I'm willing to potentially give you a point on that, and Dustin, you and I can discuss, but the answer to this question is Ted Jan Roberts starred alongside Corey Feldman in A Dangerous Place, and Cynthia, you starred along Corey Haim in Fast Getaway, the connection
right.
being both
The Lost Boys. Okay.
And License to Drive, but, you know, The Lost Boys.
Got it. So it is. So the two-parter is Fast Getaway and
A Dangerous Place. Yeah, that would have been my other thing. So I'm going to say Cynthia does not get a point on that one.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that.
However, Cynthia, you did do two Fast Getaway films. You Fast Getaway 1 and 2 with Corey Haim.
And yes.
How was that for you? Was working with Corey Haim, was that a pleasurable experience? Was it okay?
Yeah, you know, it was fun. He was like, I think 18 or 19 at the time,
right.
You know, and he was a little rascal. And we were doing this fight scene and I had high heels on and I had to like stomp him in the chest with a big stiletto.
Oh,
and I
had to
put a pad on and he was like, oh, no, I don't need a pad. I said, no, even if I just tap you with that heel, it's going to hurt. And he's like, no, he wouldn't put a pad on. So I did it and I tapped him, you know, and he was fine. And we did the movie. Then the next day we come to set and Corey's not there. And they're like, the producer comes up to me and she's really angry and she's going, oh, we can't shoot today. And I'm like, why? Because you punctured Corey Haim's lung.
Oh.
I said, what? What? She goes, yeah, you punctured his lung. He can't shoot. And I'm like, punctured his lung?
Punctured his lung?
So there's no shooting. And I'm like going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And I go back to, you know, my hotel and I hear this music. And, you know, back in those days, they had this big boom box and Corey Haim is there playing and he's dancing to the boom box. And I'm like, what are you doing? They're saying I punctured your lung. He goes, nah, you didn't. I just didn't want to work today.
Oh, this story is crazy.
Oh yeah. So
way to throw you under the bus.
Like so nervous. I was he hates me. And like, you know, like I injured him, but I knew I just like tapped him, you know, and like punched him. Like both.
My God. So now you have to wonder like if that was part of his play the whole time, you know, if he was like, I'm not going to wear this pad because then I'm, you know, any bruising or whatever will support my story. But like no one else sees him dancing to a boombox.
I know.
I thought you were dead today. Nope. Just didn't want to work. That's anyway, hit it, Rockapella. You're like, what? What's he doing? That's a wild. Thank you for sharing that story. Because, you know, obviously, we love those stories. We don't get a lot of those stories. You know, you don't hear a lot of the. So
that is
gold.
So it was worth a wrong answer, I guess is what we're saying.
It was worth
a wrong answer. That's so great.
Yeah. And that's a great question, Zach, by the way. It's a great question. I see it now from the broad picture. You know, I was thinking in the small, like there's got to be one thing that connects everybody. And I thought, you know, that Cynthia was like, well, Ted Jan Roberts was my mentee, and like I taught him everything, you know.
No, I think me asking Cynthia if she knows who Ted Jan Roberts is and saying no is a pretty good soundbite too. So we love Ted Jan Roberts. Yeah. Okay, so Dustin, it goes back to you because Cynthia got that wrong as well.
Ted, if you're watching, hello.
Yeah, and Ted, we want you on the show. Come on. Okay, so Dustin, Philip Ree, martial art sensation Philip Ree, has starred in four Best of the Best movies. How many of those four movies, Best of the Best, did Eric Roberts co-star in?
Okay, I didn't even know that there were, first of all, that there were four of them. So great work, franchise. If you had said how many Best of the Best, I would have said three, but there were four. Fair. Eric Roberts, I'm going to say he was in two of them.
That is correct.
Okay. Waiting for this. It's like
he was in Best of the Best one and Best of the Best two. Unfortunately, he did not join Philip for the other two films. Cynthia, are you familiar with Philip's work? Do you know Philip at all? Philip Ree?
I know him, yeah. Back in the day, before we were both doing movies, we used to compete together. And I remember my first big competition was the Long Beach Internationals that Ed Parker used to do, and he was there. And that was my first competition in California. It just came out for that tournament because it was the biggest one in the world.
Wow. Amazing. Is it still considered one of the larger competitions?
You know what? They're still doing it. They brought it back. It was gone for a while. And then Steve Cooper took it back. And actually, I'm going to be at this next one. I haven't been to it like probably in, 35 years,
Very cool.
I think it's getting popularity again. I don't know if it would be the biggest one right now, but definitely, they're trying to get back to where it was back in the day.
And you're going to the one this year, you said.
Yeah. It'll be, I think it's the end of August, September. So I'll be there at the internationals, the tournament. And they're also doing a Hall of Fame that I'm inducted into the night before. So.
Oh, bury the lead on that. That's a big deal.
Incredible.
Okay. And hopefully at this point, Black Creek will be out and for everyone to watch and see. And you'll be the graphic novels. Go to blackcreekgraphicnovel.com for everyone listening, not watching. Support it.
Yeah. Also, I'll be in Denver in April with Philip and Simon at a martial art con. And this is the first time anything like this has ever been done. It's just a bunch of martial art actors that like to doing it like a comic con. And it's called Martial Art Con.
That's very exciting. And it's a long time coming for a convention like that specifically.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. Hey, Cynthia, have you heard anything about in November? We understand from our friend Craig Sutton, who runs the Last Dragon tribute page, that every year they kind of celebrate the Last Dragon in New York City is something called the Urban Action Showcase.
Yeah.
Are you attending that this year? Do you have plans to, or maybe it's still early? I know.
I don't know. I usually do. I've done it ever since it started. And then a couple times I had to miss it because I was working. So I guess we haven't really talked about it this year, but also at the DenverCon, TIMAC will be there as well.
Okay.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. And we just talked about him on our Last Dragon episode with Craig Sutton and brought up the fact that he was on an episode of a TV show called A Different World, which we all kind of speculated did not do his career favors by the character that he played because he was such a heartthrob at the time. And then he goes on to play a very unlikable guy in A Different World. And it really soured people's opinions of the, the character or the actor.
Yeah.
What do you mean unlikable guy, Zach? What do you mean?
Well, he was.
What was his character?
He assaulted his girlfriend in that episode.
Yeah. What else, Zach? What else did he do? What else?
My son's sitting here, so.
Right. Okay.
No comment. But yeah, we love TIMAC and we love The Last Dragon, and what a unique film. And, rough segue into my next question for Cynthia. You starred in Martial Law back in the day. But there was a CBS TV series of the same name later on, almost a decade later. And who starred in that television series?
Sammo Hung.
Correct. Look at that. You know, you've been doing great in this contest. Sammo Hung, you were in, was it, well, Millionaires Express, right?
Yeah. You want to know a funny story too?
Please, yeah.
I have a story on everything.
I know you, yeah.
I met with Sammo and I said, Sammo, we need to do a TV show together. And he's like, really, TV? And I says, no, TV's getting big here, you know, in America. We should do like a buddy picture, a cop picture. And he went and did it, but he didn't use the name.
Come on.
He gave me the idea.
That's amazing.
Sammo, yeah. Shame on you, Sammo. Shame on you.
That's a great idea. That's a really good idea.
By the way, though, just an aside, I think it's great. It was so wonderful to see Sammo Hung in a television series here in the United States after obviously Jackie Chan having so much success. I wouldn't say Sammo, you know, he's well known in the United States, but to put him on a lead show for a television series was kind of a big deal back in the day. So
yeah, really.
Mm-hmm. But it would have been even better if you were his co-star.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt about that. Okay. So it is now 4-2, correct, Dustin?
It is 4-2.
All right. Well, Dustin, you have the potential to score a bonus point on this as well if you get it correct. This is a music question, Dustin. And don't worry, Cynthia, I have a music question for you coming up. And I catered these for the both of you.
That's
so
very
you're welcome
of you.
In advance.
Thank you in advance.
Dustin, one of Dustin's favorite bands is Huey Lewis and the News. Besides Back to the Future, Dustin, name another 80s movie. If you can name more than one, you'll get a bonus point. But name another 80s movie that Huey Lewis and the News had a song in. So this is the potential to get two bonus points. One, if you can name more than one movie.
Man.
Or two, if you can name the movie and the song that is featured in said movie.
This is a really good question.
And just to give you a heads up, there are eight other films.
Eight
in the
movies.
80s. Eight other films in the 80s.
In
that
the
Huey Lewis
80s?
Yes. That's not including television. That's just in movies, theatrical.
Oh, boy. This is going to bother me. This is going to shoot me in the butt.
You're welcome. And I'm sorry.
Well,
and
okay.
No one helped him in the chat, by the way. No one helped Dustin in the chat.
Right. Well, I wouldn't look into the chat. I mean, come on. I'm a professional. Darn it. This is really terrible, though. I don't... nothing is coming to... if I say Back to the Future, this is... No, I don't say Back to the Future 2, right? It's not like this kind of thing.
Correct. It does not include the Back to the Future franchise.
Okay, that is what you said. All right, so... oh, boy. I don't know. I'm drawing total blank.
It's okay, because this is actually really surprising to me. I'm going to list off those quickly. I'm going to list off those movies and the songs that were in the movie. So in 1984, The Wildlife featured Walking on a Thin Line, which is one of my favorite Huey
Lewis songs. Wait a minute. Really?
Yep. It's listed.
We covered that movie. We didn't.
It's not on the soundtrack physically, but it's in the movie. It's in the movie.
Oh, my God. All right.
The Sure Thing, a year later, had Heart of Rock and Roll with John Cusack.
Okay, so this is just like anytime a Huey Lewis song has just been in a movie, you're saying?
Yes.
But did you phrase the question as a soundtrack?
No, I said in the movie.
You said in the movie. Okay, please continue. Yeah. I mean, either way.
No, it's okay. Fine. FX.
American Psycho. Oh, no.
No, but I'm surprised you didn't get, FX had Harder Rock and Roll, Fire with Fire, Harder Rock and Roll, Amazon Women on the Moon, If This Is It. But then Big in 1988 had Working for a Living. That was the one I was hoping you would get.
Big had Working for a Living?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And there was a couple more, but the Wiz Kid had I Want a New Drug. And then the Wiz Kid is... haven't seen that in forever. Anyway, so you did not get a question for that, but I'm going to go over to Cynthia with a similar question. Wow. We know that the Bee Gees are one of your favorite bands of all the time. In fact, Nights on Broadway is one of the best songs ever.
Yeah, we love that.
We both do. Of course, in the 70s, they had the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack. But can you name a movie featured a Bee Gees song?
Another one in the 80s. I feature Bee Gees. Let me think. would it have been a Barbra Streisand movie?
No, that's a good question, but no.
Okay, I was thinking of, you know, that remake that Bradley Cooper did.
Star
Is Born.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking, because I know that Barry Gibb and Barbra Streisand did that duet together.
Right.
Okay, let's pick another Bee Gees song.
I can give you a multiple choice if you would like for this one.
Okay.
Okay. So your multiple choice for this is Airplane, Police Academy, or Amazon Women on the Moon.
Oh, I'm going to say Airplane.
Correct.
Right.
Now, Dustin.
When Ted is, it's a flashback.
Right. Staying Alive is played in 1980s Airplane, by the way. That movie came out 44 years ago, which is blowing my mind.
Wow.
I would have also accepted the sequel to Saturday Night Fever, Staying Alive, with looking
amazing.
Is probably his hunkiest in that. And I
know another one. Didn't they do Islands of the Stream? Or no? No. That was a Dolly Parton movie.
Wait, no, but didn't I think the Bee Gees wrote that song?
They wrote it.
But their actual song was not in the movie.
Right. Yeah. Right. Okay. No, but.
But then I found an Asian film called The Executioner that has Staying Alive in it. And it was one of Chow Yun-Fat's first movies he ever did.
Oh, my gosh. Right.
That came out in 19.
For that, too.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not.
I remember,
all right.
seeing a Hong Kong movie, right? Because when I was there, I had to go to the theater. That was it. I didn't really have too much to do, you know, and I had to watch the Chinese movies, and they had the Jaws theme. And I was like, can they use that? And they're like, oh, no, copyrights don't mean anything here. That was the Jaws theme, you know, that famous.
Blah, blah, yeah. Blah.
It's funny.
That's hilarious. I love it. I believe, well, Dustin, you can actually... Where are we at? I think Cynthia won, right? You got
the touch. The game is over, everybody. We're totally remiss. Congratulations to Cynthia. Congratulations to you, Sylvia, as you have won once again.
Well, so Sylvia has the choice of three Blu-rays, two courtesy of Kino, one courtesy of Shout Factory. That she has the choice of either No Retreat, No Surrender, which stars Kurt McKinney and Jean-Claude Van Damme. Kurt McKinney, obviously, Cynthia knows very well. And I think you're both going to be in The Last Kumite, which is coming out.
Actually, it was so great to see when we shot The Last Kumite last year. You know, it was so exciting for me to see Kurt because I haven't seen him since, No Retreat, No Surrender. That was the second movie I ever did. I think that was like in 1986. Sorry. Sworn to Justice.
Sworn to Justice, yes.
In Sworn to Justice we did. So I haven't seen him since 1997.
That's wild. So that was 97 when Sworn to Justice came out.
But he was supposed to do No Retreat Part 2.
He was, and we talked to Kurt about that, and you were in the sequel, which starred, I believe, Lauren Avenden.
Yeah, he played his part. And the funny thing is, you know, Yun Kwei directed it, famous Hong Kong director. And when we got to set, they never told Yun Kwei that Van Damme wasn't going to be in it. And they never told me Kurt McKinney wasn't going to be in it. So they introduced, Yun Kwei introduced Lauren Avedon as the director of No Retreat, No Surrender. And I thought it was Kurt McKinney. And I'm thinking, how could someone look so different on film and in real life?
Wow.
I didn't know. I thought it was Kurt McKinney, you know, so those two at the last minute backed out, and Matthias Hughes got the Van Damme part.
Yes. Yes. And Matthias is, have you, besides that film, I think he's in The Last Kumite as well.
He is. Yeah, he is.
What's your connection to The Last Kumite? Like how that's coming out? Might already be out on Blu-ray, I believe. Yeah.
Can order it on Amazon, I think, right now. And I know, you know, the producer, Sean Lowe. So I just play a cameo in it. Unfortunately, I don't do a lot of martial arts. I kind of do the ending martial art kick. But it was so much fun, you know, to work with all these people. And actually, Kurt McKinney and Matthias Hughes, I want to put them in part two of Black Creek.
I think that definitely has to happen. I think, you know, and you said you have a cameo with minimal or no martial arts. I think people just like seeing you on screen and just appreciate seeing you on screen again. Like Black Creek, we cannot wait to see this film because you can you run down some of the people that are in Black Creek for some of the people that fans might know?
Yeah. Don the Dragon Wilson is in it. Who else is in it? Richard Norton, Benny Urquidis, Keith Vitale, Keith Cook from China O'Brien is in it. And then you'll see a Marcus Taylor is in it from Down and Out in LA or something, that movie there. And then have a lot of masters, like you'll see Stephen Hayes and Steve Ross. And what I wanted to do is, you know, I would have loved to, people were like, why didn't you have this movie? Why don't you have this person? Why don't you have Jackie Chan? I'm like, oh my God, Jackie Chan. You know, my budget isn't even his per diem, but.
Right.
I could only have some. We had the character lists, like, you know, kind of limited because we knew what our budget is. So I didn't have everybody in it, which I would have loved to. But definitely, right. You know, all my friends. And that was my my feeling when I did do my own movie. I wanted to put my martial art friends in it.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny when people ask questions like that. Why didn't you get Bruce Lee? Well, Bruce Lee's dead. No. I mean, like, do the AI version of Bruce Lee. No, it doesn't work that way.
Well, I was just saying the whole act of like being like, I made this movie and everyone's just like crapping all over it. They're like, yeah, but did you get this person? It would have been really cool if you did.
Yeah.
All right. I also want to bring up the fact that, yeah, you're doing a China O'Brien reunion, so to speak, in the film with Richard and Keith, and China O'Brien 1 and 2 come out on Blu-ray here in the United States in May from Vinegar Syndrome. It'll be celebrating its 35th anniversary, I think, next year. Yeah. So hopefully, I'm basically asking you now, maybe we can do a reunion of the three of you guys for Martial Art Madness for next year.
Yeah, that would be awesome. You know, one of the things I want to do now that I have my production company, I would love to do China O'Brien 3. But it is so hard. I can't find out who owns the rights. I'm trying. So if anybody else who owns the rights for China O'Brien, you know, I would love to do that. I'd love to do Black Creek 2 and then China O'Brien 3. And again, make it really dark and gritty. You know.
Oh, it's got to happen.
Yeah. I'm
hoping you guys can just humor me for one question that I didn't get to ask either of you that I was kind of excited to ask really quickly about China O'Brien specifically. And then I'll open it up to either of you to answer this question. But Tori Amos had a song on the soundtrack to China O'Brien, right? And the song is called Distant Storm. But do either of you know the name of the band that is listed as performing Distant Storm in the movie China O'Brien?
I assume it was the Rolling Stones. I assume.
So Tori Amos sang the vocal. She's the vocalist for this band.
Yeah.
Wait, Cynthia, do you know? Please, I'm deferring to you if you.
Do I know? No.
Yeah, you do not know. Wait, so Zach, you're saying that Tori Amos is the vocalist of a fake band or what?
No, it's a band that performed the song. The song listed on the band, so she's not listed as the, you know, on the soundtrack. It doesn't say by Tori Amos,
okay.
Distant Thunder. It says
it is her song, you're saying.
It is her, yeah, okay. She's the vocalist for it. The band is called Tess Makes Good. Tess Makes Good.
Oh.
Speaking of music, you know, I'll tell you, on a Black Creek, I have one of my main theme song was written by Jim Peterik.
And tell everybody who that is.
Yeah, from he wrote Eye of the Tiger.
Right.
Amazing.
In Survivor, yeah. So he wrote
Amazing.
I'm so excited about it. I love it. And that's another thing what we have. I have an incredible Mark Scheer. My music team is so good. So I'm so excited. I can't wait till we get into the music part once we get edited. But for him to come on board just because he was a fan and he liked the movie, you know, I'm so excited.
It's really exciting. And then sincerely, everybody who hasn't checked out Black Creek BlackCreekMovie.com, BlackCreekMovie.com.
Black Creek Graphic Novel. You can
BlackCreekGraphicNovel.com. Go to that link, check it out. Because it's not just the fact that you are doing a new movie. It's a passion project for you. It's something you've wanted to do for quite some time, something you put your blood, sweat, and tears into, and that's going to be fulfilled on screen. And how wonderful is that? It's inspirational, really. You know, I don't care if you've been in the business for X amount of years or you're just starting out. The fact that you're getting it done and you've got so many fans all around the world that want to support you and be a part of it in some small way. And thank you for allowing everyone to be a part of your movie. That's really wonderful.
Yeah. I had a lot of, you know, people saying, oh, you know, your movie, like, you know, cause there's a little bit of jealousy out there. Your movie's going to suck because, you know, you're not having some of the people in it aren't actors, you know, they're backers and, you know, right. They just brought it on. The acting was so good. Like we kind of went a lot on Zoom, you know, because people were from all over the world and working on it. And the fight scenes, you know, I mean, it actually was like a real blessing. Everything just fell in place. And I think, you know, I am so proud. I'm so proud of our backers, of their acting, of their spirit, of their love. And, you know, the good thing is that we've created a Black Creek family now. Everybody became so close because it was not an easy shoot to do. It was very, very difficult. And, you know, just the morale and the spirit and everybody just there to support this project was just overwhelming love. You know, it really is a blessing. So it's not just a picture to me. It's like, it's just a collaboration of everybody's love pulling together to support me, which is, you know, more important even than the picture that, you know, everybody came to that support. It's just awesome.
Totally. Totally. In 2024, It's a super different ball game than it ever has been as far as media is concerned. So, you know, the success for this film is very much open. Like anything can happen, right? Because of the way social media works, the way things get promoted, the way things get, you know, what do you call that? Where it just becomes a big deal overnight because maybe somebody blasts something on TikTok and then next thing you know, it's everyone's talking about Black Creek. So let's keep it going, keep that conversation going. And Sylvia, Sylvia gets her choice of Blu-ray. Like I said, Hard Target, No Retreat, No Surrender, or Ninja 3, The Domination, starring Sho Kasugi in an amazing 80s sweater. If you haven't seen that one, it was really great. Cynthia, thank you so much for being on our show and being a part of this.
Well, thank you. It's always fun. I always enjoy this show. You guys are awesome. Make me laugh. So thank you.
Thanks for coming back.
My Sunday off with on a good note.
Right on. That's always, it's all about positivity today. It's all about positivity. Thank you. Go to blackcreekgraphicnovel.com and support Black Creek, the movie.
Thank you, everybody. Thanks for everybody for watching. And hey, we do have an interview, by the way, with Kurt McKinney talking about the No Retreat, No Surrender 2 story and why he did not do that. If anyone's interested. And Martial Art Madness all month long. We got all the stuff. So thank you, everybody. And we'll see you later.
Hi, Duke. Oh, listen, I just wanted to say goodbye and remind you that the good guys always win, even in the 80s.
All right, thanks so much for listening. We really appreciate it.
Don't forget to subscribe and give us a Is it 5-star rating? Don't forget to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes. If you listen to us on Spotify, that's great too. And you can find us on the internet. Don't forget to check out our website at $2LateFee.com and follow us on Instagram and Facebook at $2LateFeePodcast. We'll see you next time.
We did it.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.